I'm David, and my wife Alison and I are the senior pastors here. If you're a first-time visitor, you're very welcome. It's great to see you, and I trust that you meet with God today and you leave differently to the way you came. Whether it's through the worship or through an opportunity to pray for each other or through the teaching, whatever it is, that the Lord will speak to you today. We've just finished a series on, we're about to finish, by the end of this talk we'll have finished a series on Proverbs called Lifecraft from God, which we've been doing for a long time, but it's been excellent. Sally started us off 8 weeks ago talking about walking wisely, and she gave us three things to do. Do you remember? To worship God, to walk with wise people, and to let this word of God sink into us. And then David, her husband, opened up Proverbs 31 in his inimitable fashion to help us understand how to work well. Do you remember Ben rode his niece's little bike around here, trying to emulate Froome, and to illustrate about trusting in God. And then I explained about how when you need to know God's call on your life if you're going to know how to use your money or the money that he's given you. And James got us thinking about the wisdom of starting with rest. Peter taught us about how to use words and speak wisely. And then last week, just before the fire alarm went off, Matt started talking and telling us about how to make friends. And they're going to carry on with that a little bit in August, actually. It's been a great series, I think. And I'm really glad we've done it. And I'm going to finish today with talking about decisions. Decisions, decisions, decisions. How do I make good decisions? There's big decisions, there's little decisions. Making decisions is a life craft. How can I make godly decisions? How can I develop a life craft of good decision making? I'm going to start with Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7, which is the same text that Ben used, but I'm going to look at it from a different angle. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Which I'm using the New International Version. You've got the Good News in the pews, or who knows what version you've got on your iPads and phones and Samsungs and whatever else you've got. I assume that's what you're doing. You're reading various translations of the Bible, not checking up on bicycling. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. We're going to see how making good decisions is not about using God like a celestial slot machine. Ooh, I've got a decision here. I'll put in a prayer and out will come the solution. That's not what godly decisions making is like. What it is like is that it's about relationship. It's about a relationship with him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning already as we shared communion, as we worshipped. I ask you to come and help us understand what the Bible teaches us about decisions. Help us understand another small thing today, perhaps. And for those of us who are making decisions at this time, would you equip us and speak to us? I want to thank you for all the children in their groups and the adults who are teaching them. And for what's going on there, I want to thank you for what's going on here. We thank you for the money that people give week in, week out to make the life of the Leeds Vineyard happen. Thank you for all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sometimes there are big decisions. Do you remember the red pill and the blue pill from the Matrix? Do you remember? What did Morpheus say? You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. It's a big decision. And then sometimes there are little decisions. Like you came in today, shall I sit on the left or shall I sit on the right? Shall I When I order my coffee, shall I have one shot or two, semi-skimmed or full? Shall I have cream on top? Those are little decisions. There's also the way you make decisions. Alison and I make decisions in a very different way. Alison is cautious and careful and takes her time. I am less cautious and I don't take as much time. I make my mind up quickly. Not always right, but quickly. You could tell if you go driving with us and we're driving towards a roundabout, okay? When Alison's driving, well, I'm driving towards a roundabout, my optimum result is to be able to get across the roundabout without changing my speed. Okay? So at 30 miles an hour, go to the roundabout, spot a gap in the traffic, weave nicely in and out the other side. I think it's good for the environment, doesn't use up my brakes, it doesn't cause traffic problems, and it makes life much quicker. That's the way I make my decisions. And if there's a lorry in the right-hand lane going right or a bus, I'll hide behind it and cross behind it without even having to look, because nothing can drive through the bus into me, can it? That makes sense, doesn't it? It does to me. Alison, on the other hand, drives up to the roundabout and stops and looks. It's clear, and then she goes. Okay? We make decisions differently. She's a very good driver. I feel very safe driving with her. We've had fewer collisions when she's been driving. This is not about, I'm not talking about the style of decision making. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how a life craft of decision making lines you up with God's particular plan for your life. Some decisions don't impinge on God's plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Did you know that? Okay, you're not arbitrarily wandering around headingly seeing what happens next. He has a plan for your life. He's got something he wants you to do and a person he wants you to be. And some decisions don't impinge on that greatly. You know, whether you have cream on your hot chocolate or not isn't, I don't think, of great consequence to him. Nor whether you sit on the left or the right. Nor whether you brush your teeth with Colgate or Aquafresh. But there are some decisions, big decisions, which have big consequences. Red pill or blue pill. Big long-term impact on your life. And when you make decisions, big decisions with God's help, and you make good decisions, it doesn't necessarily make life easy or safe. I think of it more as a roller coaster than a roundabout when you go with him. When difficult times come, you will, however, be better placed to respond to them. When you've made good decisions with God's help, you'll be able to navigate and enjoy the life he has given you. Good decision-making leads to great fulfillment. Because you align yourself with God's calling, and when you fulfill God's calling for your life, huge, huge fulfillment in that. Now, there's lots of areas of decision-making we could look at. Some of you are facing very specific decisions. I think there are three dominant themes that we have to handle questions on from time to time. These are the three. I think the first is, what shall I do with my life? Career, job, where am I going to go? Who am I going to be? What sort of work am I going to do? Those sort of big life questions. I think those are crucial, and they often happen earlier on. Second question is, how shall I use my money? Or as we discovered a few weeks ago, it's not my money, it's his money that he's given us to steward. How shall I steward the money he's given me? Big questions which make a long-term impact on your life. And the third question is probably, who shall I have sex with? If anyone. Massive implications for the rest of your life. Proverbs is full of wisdom about making big decisions. But there is one strong underlying theme all the way through Proverbs about this, and about how it becomes a life craft from God. Let's go back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This is the theme. This is the underlying issue in Proverbs. It's, which way are you facing? Which way are you facing? So are you facing towards God? Are you aware of his presence? Are you expecting his intervention in your life? You believe that he's interested in you. If that's the way you're oriented, if that's the way you're facing, then you will trust in the Lord. The first bit of the verse. Alternatively, you could be facing the other way, or even facing inwards. We could talk about it as being internally facing, facing away from God anyway. You could be saying, there's no God. I'm on my own. Maybe you don't believe there is a God. I'm on my own. Or you could be thinking, there is a God, but he's not interested in me. I'm on my own. You might even be thinking, there is a God, and he is interested in me, but I want to be on my own, because I like my choices better than his. And the proverb says, lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's a fundamental theme all the way through Proverbs, is which way are you facing when you come to make a decision? You may be a Christian. You may be a long-time follower of Jesus. And you know this in theory. You're almost comatose with boredom because this is so familiar to you already this morning. But it's not going into practice. You may be a seeker or an atheist or just not sure. And many people, though, are convinced about the truth of Christianity, but they can't get over this hurdle, trusting in him rather than in yourself. Because it affects decisions about my life, and I don't want to secede those decisions to anybody else. If you're being wise in your own eyes, your decisions will be made on one basis. If you're looking towards God and trusting in him, your decisions will be made on a very different basis. If it's no to God, if you're facing away, what's going on? How do you make your decisions about those big questions? The predominant ethic in our society at the moment when you're facing this way is one of tolerance. Be tolerant. As long as it's tolerance, that's everything is fine. That's the creed. There's no right or wrong, really. There's no ultimate moral code. How dare you say that this is right and this is wrong? We just need to be tolerant. Everything is okay so long as I don't hurt anybody or myself, or maybe that's okay. How do you make decisions in that environment? It might be, if I do this, I'll feel better than if I do that. Is that the way to make a decision? Or maybe it's to look at what the celebrities say. Open the glossy magazine. Ah, I'm thinking about adoption. Madonna's adopted another child from Tibet. That must be okay then. Let's do that. Or maybe it's the marketing and advertising that we're susceptible to. And we are. We can't get away from it. They spend a lot of money making sure we are. Shall I do this? Well, I'll look good in this according to what the advertising says. You don't think that, but that's what's going on inside. Maybe we'll take advice from another human being. Maybe that's how we'll make our decision. The trouble is, it's another human being with the same set of preconceptions and circumstances that they're working out of as we are. Don't we want to try and get our decisions and our influence from somewhere else? Maybe I'll just do it myself. Maybe I'll just think what I want and what I think is best, and I'll do it myself. But I know that I'm not very good at this. I know I haven't got all the answers. I know I haven't worked it out. My track record isn't great. Am I going to make a good decision? Let's get some better advice. If you're going to get some better advice, why not go for the best advice? Because somebody who's wiser, stronger, better than me at making decisions. Because the enemy's plan is to, at all times, whether it's surreptitious or more blatant, is to move us away from Jesus. And making decisions which on the surface might look great, but are moving us away from him. That's the enemy's plan. If, on the other hand, I'm facing towards him, and I'm saying yes to him, the magnet moves away from me and points towards him, the light around me dims and he becomes bright. If that's my perspective, then my decision-making is different. For a start, I'm starting by making this decision to turn to him. That's called repentance. I'm facing this way and I hear the rebuke. you're facing the wrong way. And I repent and I turn and I face him. And then it's very simple. I enter in a conversation with him. It's called prayer. This is what I've got to decide about, Lord. What should I do? What's the right thing to do? Let's look at another proverb. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. I just love this. I just love this. Think about this underlying theme. Are we facing towards him or away from him? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. You ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke. If you had responded, I would have poured out my heart. Our God isn't a distant God with no interest. He's close. He's leaning forward. He's so committed to you, and he's so passionate to see you live in the fullness of life that he gives you, that he became a man as Jesus, and we've celebrated that today, to identify with us, to die for us, to rise from the dead, to give us the power for a new life. This is not slot machine decision making, putting a prayer there and out comes the right decision here. No, this is relationship. This is the God of the universe, your creator, wanting to pour out his heart to you. Stretching his hand out to you. A life craft from God about making good decisions is based on a relationship with him. Sally, on the first one of these studies, said about how walking wisely is about worshiping him, about walking and worshiping with other people who are worshiping him, about letting his words sink into us. And over time, as we do that, as we hear his voice, as we experience his love, as we learn his wisdom, we make better and better decisions. Do you get it? Which way you're facing is really important. Because he's facing towards you. All the time. No matter how long we spend going in this direction, he's waiting. The rebuke is always behind us. Come, listen, come this way. And he's waiting for our repentance to turn and face him and enter into that conversation and the relationship where wisdom comes to make great decisions. He won't make the decisions for us. We're not relinquishing control. He's given us free will, but he loves to help us, and he is so much wiser than the pages of the glossy magazines, than YouTube tutorials, than TV documentaries, than whatever the prevailing orthodoxy is. Let's just quickly look at three examples of how this works. So those three questions I said at the beginning of decisions. Question number one, shall I change my career? Something happens, you get offered a new job, a career change or something. Shall I change career and take this new job offer? Maybe it's a big jump in pay and responsibility and travel. It might be a cut in pay and something different, but shall I make this big decision? How do we do it? We turn to God and we say to this, the God who loves us and is reaching out for us, and we say, rather than being enticed by the glamour and the materialism and the rewards that seem to be available when we look away from him, right, let's turn towards him and say, Jesus, shall I take this job? Is this the career that's best for the plan you have for me? It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. Or the second question, the question that many have asked about money. Maybe a question like this. Shall I borrow that extra bit of money so I can buy that extra nice dream house that we've always wanted to raise our family in? So we could take advice from the financial promoters. We could take advice from the people, the guys at the pub who all seem to have bigger, nicer houses than we do. Or we could turn to Jesus and we could say, is this a good use of the money you've given me for the rest of my life? He might say, yes, it's a really good idea. Or he might say, no. Or maybe you're saying, I really fancy this person. And they make me feel great. Shall I have sex with them? If we're facing this way, what's the response? Oh, go and sign up to Ashley Madison and have an affair. What did they say about that website? The website that can't be trusted for the people who can't be trusted. Or do we face towards Jesus and say, is this the person? Is this what you want for me? Is this okay? It changes the perspective, doesn't it, on that decision. Do we copy what the pop star does? Do we write to the agony aunt for that wisdom? Or do we go to the creator of the universe who loves us and say what's best? As we grow in relationship with him, decisions become not multiple choice questions, but a conversation with our best friend, our best advisor, the one who loves us the most, the one who knows us the best. Decisions, decisions, decisions. And the longer you have lived, the more decisions you've made, and the more you can look back and you can say, oh, that was a mistake. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. That was stupid. Or maybe you're looking back and you're saying, oh, that was okay. That worked out well. You built up some level of experience. Maybe as you've been following Jesus, for those of you who have for a while, and you can look back and you can say, thank you for guiding me down that particular route. Lord, I didn't like it at the time. I didn't like that discussion we had about the job, about the money, about the sex. But I'm so glad I walked the path you took me on. I felt your rebuke and I wanted to go the other way. But I'm so glad I listened to you. We've all got decisions to make today, tomorrow, in the future. So I'd love you to enter into a deep relationship with him. Get to know him better and better. Worship him. Walk with the wise. Let his words sink into your heart. Allow him to rebuke you and bring you back when you're going off track. Let him pour his heart into you and guide you so that your decision making becomes a true life craft from God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. As I was preparing this, I just felt the Lord say, obviously there'll be people here who are facing decisions and we should pray for you. So I'd like to do that. I think, and I felt the Lord say that for some people here, it's time to make a decision. You've been prevaricating. I think the Lord's saying to you, it's time. And maybe for somebody here, it's time to decide about Jesus as well. That's a decision you need to make because it's going to affect which way you face. I had some other words. I don't know if anybody else had any anything they want to quickly share, but while you're thinking about that, I think there's somebody here who's been walking down a sort of pathway and they found themselves in front of a door. And it's like it's a bit like that door. It's an arch door, smaller than that, but an arch door, and it's closed. And there's a door on either side, and you've come to a point where you can't go any further down the pathway, and you've got to decide whether to go through this door or go to a couple of other doors. And that might be something very specific for you. It might mean something specific for you. And I'd love to pray for you and help you receive the Lord's wisdom about that. Another picture about somebody who is leaning on a fence, looking over, and the grass is greener. But it came with a warning. As I looked at the grass, the greener grass, it was slippery. And this might be an in-joke, but during the worship, I, I got a little picture of, you know, the Marines. Some of us were talking about Marines earlier on. There was a little picture of a Marine, those cartoon figures with the helmets and guns and lots of equipment. And I felt God saying, you're a Marine and I'm going to equip you. I think that means you're going to go into a challenging role, a challenging career. But he's going to equip you. Does anybody else have a specific word that we could just pray into?
So I am a visitor. My name is Nigel. David and I have a mutual friend. I've spent a lot of time studying Proverbs, and I think one of the things that struck me that relates to this matter of decision making is that Proverbs encourages us to see the end of the matter, to look a long, long, long way ahead, because we easily don't, do we? You know, even in the Proverb, this and this that does plan ahead and so on. It's not planning ahead more than 5 or 10 years, but God wants us to think about our lifetime. He wants us to think about our destiny. He wants us to think about our nations. Where's it going? Where's this decision of mine taking me or taking us?
Okay, thank you. Okay, would you like to stand? If you can, if you're able. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. And if you, if the Lord's speaking to you about any of these things, we'd love to just give him space to minister to you now, and we'd love to pray for you. But let's just wait for him to come. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. More of your presence, Lord. More. Bless what you're doing. I think the Lord is speaking to people about decisions right this morning. Some of those words I've just had were specific for you. Some are more general. You just want to, there's things facing you need to make decisions about, or decisions you made that you have gone wrong and you want to get straight with God about it. If that's you, I'd love, what we'll do this way, I'll ask the setup team just to get rid of these tables, and I'll ask you to come up to the front. We don't often do this because of the pews, but I just feel that it's part of you stepping forward out of the pew and coming up to the front here is a way of you facing towards God, making that step towards him, to which he can respond. And there's nothing magic about that, it's just... And then it's easier for us to pray for you as well. But if you've come this today and you've got anything else that you want prayer for, you need healing for something, or you have financial issues or relationship issues and you'd like us to pray for, we'd love to do that too. So I'm just going to pray to... to finish the service, but then I'm going to invite you to come to the front and we'll pray for a bit. And then I'll dismiss you to get the children. So, Lord Jesus, we celebrate this time with you, and we thank you for what you're doing amongst us right now and have been over the last hour or so, hour and a half. Thank you for your presence with us. I pray that everybody in this room will be able to face towards you and grow in relationship with you and make more and more wonderful decisions. Just draw them into a fulfilled and exciting and roller coaster ride for you. Fulfilling what the destiny is that they've been called to. Fill us with your presence today as we go. Now, if you'd like us to pray for you, would you like to come forward now? Just make your way to the end of the pew. Come up to the front here and I'll get somebody to come and pray with you. Any more? Anybody else? Just squeeze up to the middle so that we can all get in. Okay, if you're in, come in. If you're leadership in the vineyard here, would you come forward and just pick on somebody and go and pray for them? If they want to tell you what it's about, they will. If they don't, they don't have to. We're not going to quote the Bible verses at you. We're not going to give you any advice. We're simply going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and for the Lord to speak to you. Okay? So come and gather around. We need some more people. If this is unfamiliar to you, that's fine. Just feel free to watch. Feel free to stick your nose in and ask questions. I need another man here. I need a woman. Oh, great. Okay, that we're sort of dissolving into a chaotic end, which is about as good as it gets. So we'll continue to pray for these people. If you have children, please would you go and fetch them? If you'd like us to pray for you anyway, then get somebody to look after them once you fetch them, and then come back and we'll love to pray for you. Thank you for visiting the vineyard this morning, for coming, and I hope you have a wonderful week. God bless.